This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're really privileged to have Professor Darren Evans come and speak to us this morning. We're on our theme of looking after it, and he's going to be addressing the theme of looking after the earth. Professor Darren Evans is a reader in ecology and conservation at Newcastle University. He has added credibility because he has an allotment and raises hens. So he also attends Life Vineyard Church. And Darren, you're extremely warmly welcome. You're amongst friends here. We're grateful to you for giving of your time and expertise to share with us. Lord, I ask you to bless Darren. Would you bless him right now with your anointing and your gift to be able to speak into our hearts? Open our hearts to hear this significant message. Open our minds to understand it. Would you change us as we listen? Amen. Darren, over to you.
Oh, thank you so much, David. Thank you for the invitation. As David said, I'm part of Life Vineyard Church, which is a multi-site church in and around Newcastle. And we send our greetings to you. I'm a professional scientist motivated by my Christian faith. And I'm really thrilled to be part of this series called Looking After It and how you've been exploring how, as we grow in faith, we come to see how ultimately everything belongs to God, as David read earlier in Psalm 8, the creator and sustainer of all things, and that he has entrusted us to look after what we have been given. And it shows something of God's character in terms of just how wonderfully relational and intimate God is in every aspect of our lives. So when I was preparing this talk, I was just thinking, reflecting really on the impact that the lockdown have had on people, and in particular, how there are many stories of people reconnecting with nature. So I received lots of video clips of people who have taken recordings of birds on their way to work, for example, and asking me, what bird is this? Can you identify this bird? Or I've heard people talking about the quality of the air being so much better. Children who suffer from asthma being able to breathe more easily in urban environments. And also nature and birdsong has been a real blessing for lots of people, particularly elderly people who don't have gardens or who have just not been able to get out from their homes during the lockdown. And there's a range of studies now coming through, being published, showing really how the COVID crisis has gone hand in hand with a positive shift in public awareness to nature-related topics. So I think it's really sort of encouraging, actually, that people are rediscovering nature during these really difficult times. And so what I want to do today is to speak about some urgent environmental problems, drawing on the current science regarding the global extinction threats to wildlife in particular, and what Christians are or should be doing in response to this. I'll draw on some of my own experiences as a professional scientist in encountering God in some surprising ways in nature conservation. And what I also want to do is trying to put this in a biblical context about the wider plans that God has for what is a broken world and how he wants us as individuals and communities to be part of his redemptive purposes as we explore ways of looking after God's earth. But perhaps the main point, my main point that I'm trying to make today is that despite the often overwhelming news headlines and depressing statistics about the state of the planet, we can find much needed hope in God's plans for the world and how he wants to include us in that mission. Now, ecologists are often described as the cartographers of doom, and part of my job is to report global wildlife patterns and trends as well as trying to figure out ways to sustainably manage natural resources. So I am going to start with some depressing statistics, and these are taken from the IUCN Red List of threatened species. And bearing in mind, we still haven't described lots of biodiversity around the world. These are the current assessments based on the information that we do have for a range of plants and animals. And so currently, 1 in 8 birds around the world are facing extinction. 1 in 4 mammals, 1 in 3 reef-forming corals, and nearly 1 in 2 of all amphibians globally are threatened with extinction. Now, these declines have been really quite rapid. They've happened in the last few decades. And there's multiple reasons for why these declines are happening. A lot of it is to do with land use change, agricultural intensification, habitat loss, climate change, pollution, and so on. And I'm going to drill into some of those in a little bit more detail in the study this evening. But you'll be familiar with a whole range of headlines. Particularly last year, there was an article based on a report published estimating that 1 million species are threatened with extinction around the world at the moment. And the Stockholm Resilience Centre showed that the significant loss of wildlife is well beyond what is termed the planetary boundary safe zone for maintaining Earth support systems, the very things that underpin our health and well-being as humans. And on top of that, we also have a global challenge of how are we going to feed an additional 2 billion people that are expected on the planet by 2050, using less resources than we currently have, coupled with the uncertainties of climate change and everything that that brings as well. And so the links between environmental degradation and human well-being are becoming clearer and clearer. And in fact, they're included in the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. But of course, it's often the world's poorest who are hardest hit as a result of a degraded planet. And I think that's something that we should be taking very seriously. But also, a recent published report by the UN and the World Health Organization concluded that human exploitation of nature is driving the pandemics that we are experiencing, such as coronavirus. And the World Wildlife Fund are calling for international action on high-risk wildlife trade, deforestation, and industrial farming, the very things which are causing us the problems that we're experiencing. And so we find ourselves in unprecedented times, and there are enormous challenges for us and for our children. But I feel that the lockdown has given us some ideas as to how we might dare to dream in making our towns and our cities healthier and more fulfilling places to live. For Christians, I believe that there is an opportunity to rediscover our understanding of God as the creator and the sustainer of all things, his redemptive plans for everything that he has created, but also learn something about ourselves, what we were created to be, and how we can effectively cooperate with God in mission. In John Stott's book, The Radical Disciple, he describes how looking after God's earth, or creation care, as he calls it, is a characteristic of Christian discipleship that is often neglected, but deserves to be a core part of what defines us. So I'm just going to read a couple of passages from his book. In it, he says, "What then should be our attitude to the earth? The Bible points the way to making two fundamental affirmations. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24, verse 1, and the earth he has given to the human race, Psalm 115, verse 16. He goes on to say that the assertions complement rather than contradict each other. For the earth belongs to God by creation and to us by delegation. This does not mean that he has handed it over to us in such a way as to give up his own rights over it, but rather that he has given us the responsibility to preserve and develop the earth on his behalf. And so in so doing, we avoid the deification of nature, that is sort of worshipping nature as if it was God on the one hand, but we also avoid the exploitation of nature too. And so instead we have what John Stott calls a noble calling to cooperate with God for the fulfillment of his purposes, to transform the created order for the pleasure and profit of all. In this way, our work is to be an expression of our worship, since our care of the creation will reflect our love for the Creator. Now, often in my line of work, I come across people with a wide range of beliefs and motives for environmental protection and nature conservation. And these motives can often be quite difficult to articulate, but mostly I think they are driven by a sense of love and justice for the world. But sometimes I also find that there is skepticism of Christianity, and people have even accused it of causing the current ecological crisis, either based on some perverted understanding of the word dominion in Genesis, or even to do with how people interpret how the world is going to end at the end. But I've been surprised by how Christians have been part of shaping the global conservation movement behind the scenes. And so, for example, the Christian organization Arosha has been working around the world for over 35 years. But in fact, the Christian understanding of how and why we should look after the planet is in fact one of the dominant worldviews in environmental ethics, which even reaches into some international agreements, such as the Convention on Biological Diversity. Now, this point is acknowledged in good academic textbooks, and this slide shows part of the text that I have lifted from one of the textbooks that I use to teach my students at university. And these are the biblical basics. And this is the reason and motivation for a lot of our environmental action. The first is that non-human creatures are appropriate subjects of human care and protection based on Genesis 2. Legal protection is applied to the land as an entity in itself, not as a commodity or as a means of producing a livelihood, again, taken from Exodus and Leviticus. But perhaps more important in terms of having a sense of hope is that non-human creation is included in God's stated plans for the redemption of the world to himself. So professionally, I found myself in a really good place in which I can openly talk about my Christian motivations for nature conservation, and where others are often surprised by what the Bible says about looking after God's earth. I think in particular, Jesus offers a unique and much needed hope for this damaged world. And in his book, The Mission of God, the scholar Chris Wright dreams of a multitude of Christians who care about God's earth and take their responsibilities seriously. And again, some passages from his book. He says, they choose sustainable forms of energy where possible. They switch off unneeded appliances. They buy food, goods and services as far as possible from companies with ethically sound environmental policies. They join conservation societies. They avoid overconsumption and unnecessary waste and recycle as much as possible. But Chris Wright also wants to see a growing number of Christians include the care of the planet within their biblical understanding of mission. And he says, in the past, Christians have instinctively been concerned about great and urgent issues in every generation. These have included the evils of disease, ignorance, slavery, and many other forms of brutality and exploitation. Christians have taken up the cause of widows, of orphans, refugees, prisoners, the insane, the hungry, and most recently have swelled the numbers of those committed to making poverty history. So in conclusion, I think that if we're going to take our faith seriously, then looking after God's earth is clearly an imperative for the next century. But in cooperating with God in the process, surely we gain a deeper and fuller understanding of him, his love and plans for his creation, and our relationship with him and all of nature, which he is currently reconciling to himself. Amen. Thank you. So I'm going to pass back to David now.
Wow. Thank you, Darren. Well, you get good value for money, don't you, Vineyard? Wow. It feels like we've got a lot of material to chew on there and to follow up in the lounge after this, and then this evening when Darren comes back to speak in more detail on some of those issues. I'm looking forward to that. I feel that's going to be significant for us. I just want to pray through that a little bit before we open up for prayer ministry. Just thinking that we need to give thanks for God's creation. We need to repent of not understanding some of the things that Darren's been talking about. And we need to pray. So I'm just going to pray briefly through that, and perhaps you'll join me, and then take that and bring that into your own devotional prayer life in the days and weeks to come. So, Lord, we just want to stand back in awe and give you thanks for this wonderful, amazing creation that you that is yours, and yet you have delegated to us. Alice and I were standing on the top of Wharfdale on Friday, looking just awestruck at the beautiful scenery. We just give you thanks for whatever bit that we can experience and know. And we want to come before you with repentance and to say we're sorry when we have not acknowledged that and when we have not looked after it. Would you show us what that means and how to change? And we pray for Darren and for people like him who are turning the wheel of this discussion. And would you help us individually and as a country and as a world change what we do to look after your earth better? Plant in our hearts that hope, or that redemptive plan that you have that Darren talked about. May we understand what you're calling us to better and better. Thank you for that hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I just add to that on this subject? Just while we all have a responsibility to steward the earth in the ways that Darren was talking about, I just feel like for some people listening today, it's like this is your thing. This is what floats your boat. This is what this is like your calling, and your it gives you life. You connect with God through it. I just feel like we should pray for you, actually, because God's placed us, you, in our community to lead us and equip us, cheer us on, get us going on this in ways that we might not without you. So if that is you, just put your hands out or do whatever you do to symbolize and focus on receiving the Holy Spirit, and let's just pray for you. Lord, we just welcome your presence, and we welcome your Holy Spirit specifically to people for whom this is their purpose and their calling. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we pray that you would fulfill your purposes in preserving and developing this earth in our locality and beyond, through the community of Leeds Vineyard, that you would raise up those who are to lead us and equip us in this area. Lord, fill them with your Spirit. Show them what you're doing. Show them the next steps. Connect with them. Speak to them through nature. Mm. And we just long to see the fulfillment of your purposes in looking after the earth in and through our community, our locality and beyond. Mm. Amen.
Amen.